listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
I feel like these last weeks of lessons from Matthew have been preparing us for this bombshell today. Forgiveness is the ultimate question. I've been asking us for a number of weeks now, I think, how are you doing with forgiveness? It seems to be a theme in Matthew. How are you doing with forgiveness? How are you doing at forgiving others? And how are you doing at the fact that you have been forgiven by others? And how are you doing with the fact that God has ultimately forgiven you? Forgiveness is really the ultimate question, I believe. How are you doing with forgiveness? And just in case we want to check off this work like another chore on our lists, Jesus blows Peter's mind in our text for today. Peter is looking to check a box or two, or maybe 20, off of the list. I say, he wants to one and done forgiveness. How many times, Lord, do I have to forgive? It's like, you know, just give me, what do I have to do, Lord? What form do I have to fill? Where do I have to sign? Just tell me, Lord, give me a number. Give me a number. But Jesus calls him and calls us to see that forgiveness is not an item on a checklist, but a country in which to live. Jesus tells Peter not to keep score, but to immigrate to the land of forgivingness. That's what the 77 means. Seven refers to wholeness throughout Scripture. Seven refers to wholeness, and so 77 is the wholest wholeness. It's a total state of total forgivingness. It's a new place to live. Build your life there, Jesus says. We live in a tit-for-tat land, where we check items off lists, where we pay back and pay up to settle accounts. It's hard for us to accept undeserved kindnesses. It's hard for us to accept undeserved kindnesses, whether that's physical gifts or compliments or favors. If somebody gives me something, I want to pay it back or pay it forward. Or pay it off and not feel like I owe anything to anyone. It is programmed deep down there in our Protestant, capitalist, dog-eat-dog, scratch-my-back, I'll-scratch-yours work ethic DNA. So it is really hard to hear this message from Jesus today. It is really hard to pack up and move. Or even to envision this new territory that Jesus and Paul in his letters to the Romans and Joseph in the Old Testament are mapping for us today. It is really hard for us to even envision this new territory, this commonwealth of forgivingness. The brothers in that great story in the Old Testament, maybe one of the greatest reconciliation stories in all of literature, the brothers in that story are still not being honest in their making amends with their brother Joseph. They are still trying to manipulate in this text in the Old Testament. They are trying to strategize and pull at the heartstrings of Joseph and his long-lost father's wishes. Let's tell Joseph that his dad would want this. That should get us what we want. But Joseph, who, by the way, was definitely not a perfect person either, Joseph has this moment of divine intervention. There's no way else, there's no other way to describe it. Like in all the cases of forgiveness in our lives and in our world, in our history, all the cases, that's got to be divine intervention. God picks Joseph up and puts him on a raft and blows a wind, and Joseph enters into the country of forgivingness. Joseph blazes the trail into this new territory, into 77. Have no fear, he says. I will provide for you and your little ones. And that, by the way, made it possible for his brothers to get there too, as they embrace in the story. Do not fear. God has made this for good, Joseph says, and there's forgiveness. And they weep tears of joy. Someone's got to venture out there, cutting through the strangler vines and the thistles of resentment and past grievances and often downright evil. Someone's got to venture out there. The brothers, you remember, threw Joseph into the pit. You remember these stories? They left him to die decades ago. Joseph gets pulled out of the pit by these traders who are passing by. They carry him like a commodity to sell in Egypt. Just think of all that time, all those long nights, all that time for this thick forest of anger and resentment to grow. The weeds of disdain and revenge can take over. Especially as Joseph, amazingly in the story, rises to power and to a position in Egypt to exact payback on any of his past abusers. But that's not what happens. Someone's got to blaze the trail. And Joseph was the imperfect candidate that God selected. Someone's got to lead the expedition into the new territory. We can't just keep living in these swampy forests of anger and keeping tabs and holding on to debts. You must go there too, people of God. God is picking you up today and sending you and me. We should pack it up. Trust God. And head out for 77, the commonwealth of forgivingness. Always, God's people are in movement from the territory of sin and brokenness into the land of healing and wholeness. And the trail has actually been maintained by all those imperfect saints who have gone before us, in loving their enemies, in praying for those who persecute them, in forgiving their debtors. This is heaven come down to earth stuff today. Do you realize that? On earth as it is in heaven today. That's what the commonwealth of forgivingness is. It's a territory that we can inhabit here and now. Not seven like a checklist, but 77, like a country. Can you see it? Can you see that land? Do you know that land? Especially as we start to get specific, as we talk about racial justice and environmental justice and gender justice. How does heaven come down to earth? Where is the embrace and the tears of joy and God making it for good? As we talk about Democrats and Republicans and a presidential race and Fox News and MSNBC and families around the table and neighbors who annoy and leaders who betray and friends who, quote, assume. Where is the divine intervention? Where is God putting you on a raft and the Holy Spirit current is carrying you to 77. In the commonwealth of forgivingness, you don't have to hang on to the words your friend or who you thought was your friend said about you. In 77, you can see over those trees. You can see her as a broken child of God, hurting and in need. The father who is an abused abuser. Compassion and prayer blanketing the work of healing and reconciliation and peace. See, 77 is no oasis. The labor is long and daily in this land. But it is not without breaks, not without rest and recreation. And it is not without community. And in 77, your mistakes are completely in God's loving hands. You don't have to carry them or trip over them. You can work without that extra burden. The pain you've caused others, whether intentionally or unconsciously, is lifted from your shoulders. And that feels so good that you invite others to come to this new land too. And together you build sustainable housing for everyone to move to 77. You bake and harvest and sow and set tables so that everyone can live in forgivingness. Paul says it like this, to a community, by the way, that was struggling to immigrate to 77. Paul writes to them, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. Here's the thing. I'm trying to paint, hopefully, a picture of this land called forgivingness and invite us all there in Christian discipleship. But what if we can't get there? What if we're stuck? What if it seems we'll never get there? Friends in Christ, the welcome is always there. It is again today. The customs gates in the land of forgivingness, the commonwealth, are always wide open. And anyone is free to enter 77 at any time. And many, many faithful ones are going. But even if you stay behind, you still belong to the Lord. You already reside in God's embrace. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. to learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.